This is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It's happening, everybody. It is Bob, Dave, and Moore here on 710 ESPN Seattle. The opening drive is brought to you by Cherish. Pete Carroll press conference coming your way in a matter of moments. As soon as he steps up to the podium, we'll send you out to Seahawks headquarters and get a wrap on the season from the head coach. Joining us today, our buddy Paul Moyer will be in for John Clayton today. So we're looking forward to a conversation with Paul. And then Dwayne Brown is scheduled to join us at 4:30. So keep your fingers crossed on that one. Looking forward to that conversation if it happens. Talk about what took place in this game. And as we wait for Pete, and again, we might have to abruptly cut somebody off and send it out there, but it's hard to believe the season's over. I fully expected, as much as on Friday, Jim and I predicted that the Packers would win. I told Bumpus, who picked the Seahawks, I want to come in on Monday and have you rub it in my face and tell me I was wrong. That would be the best. And I thought that was going to happen. I was convinced this was a classic Seahawks game where they lull you in. First half's a disaster. They can't do anything right. Nothing's going their way. And then they mount a furious comeback in the second half, and they find a way to win. It looked like, yep, that's what's going to happen. And it didn't.
And it just didn't this time.
It just didn't.
It was really kind of frustrating and sad, and just to think that, oh, man, it came down to, you know, a matter of inches there. That's how they played all year. I mean, they were, what, 2 inches away from being the number one seed?
Yeah.
For gosh sakes. And who knows, you know, maybe they don't get past Minnesota in the first round, because that's where they would have come to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so is that right?
Yeah, they would have been a potential number. That's where they were still playing for the number one seed at that point.
Right, right. And you know, they beat New Orleans. But, yeah, it's – but then you look back and go, with some of the things, and these aren't excuses, just the way it went and, you know, the injuries and things like that, you know, and then going on the road, it's pretty tough beating a 13-3 team.
Who's rested and healthy.
Yeah, and just Aaron Rodgers is damn good. So, and you look at all the differences, you know, as far as between him and Russell, they're always in the top five in the playoffs and quarterback rating, 1 and 2 in history. I think Aaron Rodgers is number one, and Russell Wilson's number two as far as quarterback rating in history of the NFL. And then, you know, on the road, Russell's a little bit better than him. So, and he just came up with one more play. And, you know, that's when you look back on it, it was hard. It stung at first. You're like, why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? If they'd have made this play, if they'd have made that play. You go back through the whole season and do that same thing from the other perspective on the games that they won. Because,
yeah,
you know, they just played everybody tight, and it was a gritty team. And, yeah, I just felt like at the end, there was a lot of things, you know, the injuries piled up. That wasn't even close to being their running game. Not even close. Without all the offensive linemen that went down with injuries and Dwayne Brown not being there, and he heroically came back. But, you know, you've got a guy who's been on the street for a year and a half, and, you know, you got a rookie, and it just wasn't the same going in there. And I feel like if there's a couple of – maybe we can talk about this later. If you could, and we did last week too, but – if you could bring a couple of guys back off that injury list, who might it be? You know, Will Dissly comes to mind, and mm-hmm. so does Chris Carson. But, yeah, it's just with all of that mounting up at the end, it sort of made sense that they lost this game by, what, 3 inches? You know, and maybe they go for it on fourth down there, and maybe the Seahawks don't. But I didn't have any doubt in my mind that if they got the ball back,
they were going to win.
They were going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I felt the same way. I was just, you know, the one drive, and you felt bad for Malik Turner. I mean, I know there's a part of you that's thinking, come on, Malik, you need to catch that ball. At the same time, I was thinking, man, it's Malik Turner, and I was cutting him some slack, and certainly no one wanted to drop that ball. I mean, Malik Turner probably feels as worse about it than any of the 12s out there about what happened, but I'm with you guys. I thought that if they got the ball back and still had a timeout and still had a minute and a half to go, that they might have come back and gotten it. But it was really, and maybe it's too early to try and look at it from a bigger perspective, but honestly, it was remarkable how far they went. With the injuries they had a good draw with Philadelphia because they were more banged up or just as banged up as you were, and you went back there and you beat the 40-year-old quarterback, and so then you go to Green Bay, and boy, they just fought right till the end. It was really a fun game to watch, And you felt all the while that they were going to come all the way back. And then Pete Carroll after the game, I don't know if I've seen a more emotional press conference, at least from Pete Carroll, maybe some from some other coaches. But, boy, Pete talking about this team and how much it meant to him and what
Russell
a season it's been.
Specifically, he started choking up. I've never seen him do that.
Yeah, it was just it was a terrific season. And, yeah, it's disappointing the way it ended, especially when you wanted another shot at the 49ers next week. But all in all, I just I couldn't get over how well they played, especially given the defense. It was one of the worst defenses that Pete Carroll's had here in his time.
Yeah, we do those wrap up videos. Me and Paul and Stacy each do a video and post it, and I did it last night. And listen, I'm a Seahawks fan. I have been my whole life, but I get mad when they lose. I don't, and I'm not happy that they lost, certainly. But I couldn't help feel a level of pride and optimism after last night. And I know that sounds hokey, and I'm not a moral victory guy, but everything you just said is true. When you look at the team that they rolled out there, and you've got third and fourth stringers all over the place, and guys that were on a couch a couple of weeks ago playing crucial moments and minutes for this team, and you're on the road against a team that's rested and healthy, a 13-win team with one of the greatest ever quarterback in the league, and you were within one score of the NFC title game. That is remarkable. And I put 90% of it on Russell Wilson. If not for Russell Wilson, A, you're not in the postseason. Let's pretend he got hurt in week one and Geno Smith's your quarterback. This is a 6-win team, 5-win team with that defense, Geno Smith at quarterback. Russell Wilson, if there are still doubters out there, I don't know what you need to see. I really don't. I would argue that was the best game of the season for him. He was spectacular yesterday. I mean, he was a one-man wrecking crew in that second half. When he pulled the ball down to run, he made every right decision. He made the right throws. I would find it hard to believe there's a doubter of Russell Wilson out there after the season. You were talking about an MVP for the first half. Second half didn't go quite as well as the first, but you watch what he did in these two games with zero running attack. Zero in both games. No offensive lineman.
He led you in rushing the last two games.
Yes, he did. And he is remarkable. And again, you're playing with backups to backups to backups on that line. And same at running back. And same at tight end. And say you could go across the board with all the fill-ins and the duct tape they put on this team. And they won 11 games, and they got within one score of the NFC title game. That's miraculous. And as much as we nitpick Pete, and yeah, we can question decisions and timeouts, and why didn't you go for it here, and why would you run this guy out there? This is arguably one of his best coaching jobs, considering what they had to overcome through the entire season. If you go back and look at everybody that's been hurt, unavailable, suspended, what have you, it's impressive.
Well, yeah, and people give me a hard time. You know, why are you picking against the Seahawks every week? Is because I didn't really think they were as good as their record. And yet, boy, I was wrong every week until this week. I mean, you just look at them and what they've done. It is. It's incredible what they've done. And yeah, it's disappointing. And you hope, you know, that they're going to have to make a lot of different moves. I don't necessarily agree with Pete, though, talking about the similarities to the 2012 team, because I think they have to make more changes defensively, especially personnel-wise.
That defense was better.
Yeah, just little bit.
I think they were fourth in the league that year in points allowed.
But point well taken anyway, because he senses that something is building from here, and he feels like things are only going to get better and they're not going to get worse. And boy, I go back to, and we were talking earlier today about what you learned about this team, and I know we're going to get into it later, but I just love this whole notion of how everybody was collectively on the same page and they were one team. There weren't any cliques. There was no drama. And I think that really showed this season with all the injuries and different things that they overcame.
Yeah, you talk about the coaching job. First of all, Russell was 91% of the offense this week, 95%, 96% last week. But, you know, we talked about how John Elway got whooped. He had the best offense in the NFL, in NFL history, and the Seahawks whooped him in the Super Bowl. And within 2 years, he had a defense that was one of the best. You could argue that Pete's kind of turned that over in less and more time. But, you know, they didn't have the defense this year. They're mediocre at best in almost everything except takeaways. But they built one of the better offenses in the league. And, you know, the injuries really on the offensive side is what killed him. You know, Carson, Penny, and Disley. You know, and then different
and
times.
Broseis and Britt and
yeah, Britt
and Dwayne Brown being out and right. Yapati being out and Fluker missed time and then Jamarco Jones gets hurt. I mean, right.
And yet you still were able to build a top five offense, and you kind of, you know, they were a middle of the road offense and a really, really good defense. And now they've kind of switched it around and kind of just played what they had. And, you know, and I know the slow starts and all of those things, but yeah, look, it in the end, it was a really good coaching job by Pete Carroll. And you know, and these guys are all buying into this stuff. And that's the thing, you know, you mentioned the hokey part of it, Bob. I'm kind of with you on that. But, you know, there is a certain sort of spirit that you have as a team. Because today I was in the locker room, which I hardly ever go in there. But I was like, I remember looking around on those days going, we're never going to be together again, this same group.
Yeah.
And this group together just had something. It was some kind of synergy that, you know, I think it made players better, and it made guys like Dwayne Brown and Jadeveon Clowney want to go and play through injury. I mean, Dwayne Brown was laying on an operating table 3 weeks ago.
Hadn't done a thing before this game.
Yes.
No practice, no nothing.
Right.
I mean,
and same thing
and
with Clowney.
Yeah, I don't know what percentage that you could put on him, but I've heard others in that locker room saying, you guys have no idea what this guy's dealing with. You have
right.
no idea. I mean, he's ready for surgery here in the next few days. I don't know if he's coming back, but I've got a whole different level of respect for the guy. You know, I always looked at him in Houston and said, yeah, you know, he had all this hype coming out of college, and he's going to change he's going to revolutionize the game. He's that special freak athlete, and he's got arguably the best defensive player we've seen in the league in years on the other side, drawing all this attention, and J.J. Watt, what is he, three-time defensive player of the year, and he never mustered 10 sacks, never could come up with double-digit sacks. You know, I said, he's good. He's not great. He's a good player. And then you watch him here, and you watch what he did and the impact that he had. And I know the sack numbers weren't there, but just to see how disruptive he could be when he's that physically compromised, and again, we have no idea what if he's 50, 60, 70%. I have no idea. But
boy, he
just
was
his heart,
really in pain coming out of the game at that one point yesterday.
Well, he got hit in the goods.
Yeah.
That's what happened there. Everybody thought core injury, and then they explained, obviously, he got hit in that spot.
That's your core injury right
yeah,
there.
That's yeah. as core
there's
as it
a
gets.
Core anywhere. Yeah. You know, it's amazing to see what these guys were able to do. I told a Packer fan this yesterday, like, you guys are going to get your asses whooped in San Francisco. Sorry.
They might. That's the weird part is I'm really.
Yeah, how did that go over?
Well, you know, go Pack, go, whatever. You know, and those fans were slightly less obnoxious than Philly. But, yeah, I mean, I just don't think that's going to be a good matchup. And it would have been a good matchup for the Seahawks. You know, talk about matchups. What were the Lions? 3-12-1? The Packers never led in regulation in those two wins that they had against the Lions. There was just a bad matchup there. The Seahawks are a bad matchup for the San Francisco 49ers, but based on what happened when Green Bay went out there, I think they lost 37-8.
Yeah, they got routed.
Yeah, I love AFC NFC Championship Day, but I don't think that that's going to be a very good game.
Yeah, and that bums me out. I tend to agree with you. I'm rooting for the Packers. There's no part of me that wants to see the 49ers win. I'm sorry. I just don't. And Sherman has turned me. I loved Sherman when he was here. But listening to him after the game about, you know, people trying to make excuses for why I'm not great. Ugh, enough.
Everybody wants me to fail.
Enough, Richard.
Wait, that might be true here in Seattle, but.
Goodness. Well, I'll be rooting for the Packers.
I know.
It's weird on the heels of being beaten by him, but I'm pulling for him. But I'm with you, Dave. I feel like they're going to lose.
Well, the 49ers are going to win the Super Bowl. They're the best team in the league, and I thought
you've been saying that for a long time.
Yeah, and I thought they would beat the Ravens, and somebody solved that puzzle. And I don't know, maybe the Titans go in and they lose, you know, 9 out of 10 against the Ravens. But you know, they put all in on an offense and Lamar Jackson, and they stumbled. And so, you know, but I thought that San Francisco would be the team that would do that. But they're playing so well right now. But still, I think that the Seahawks could have gone in there and given them a game. And they proved it twice. So, yeah, and you could say, well, they duck hooked that one field goal because their kicker was out and they should have won in overtime and everything. But you could also say that the Seahawks were one inch away from being the NFC champions, that, you know, the number one seed. And that's unbelievable to think that, you know, and for the Niners, I mean, they sit at home, wait around a week. I mean, that's what happened in 2013. You play one game, you win. Now you're waiting for another guy to come in, and you win one game, and you go to the Super Bowl. And that's hopefully what the Seahawks, you know, that's what they're striving for, and that's what they wanted and just didn't get it done.
Yeah, it's just it's weird that the season's done. It's so weird. That was my reaction last night. Like, I can't believe it's done. I can't believe the season's over. Yet, I'm just appreciative of how far they went with what they had. And I know, again, moral victories, usually I'm like, all right, save that. And we'll get into what went right, what went wrong, all that stuff. But let's send it out to the Seahawks headquarters right now. Pete Carroll speaking.
You double dipping on that outfit from yesterday?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's free
to have.
I think I wore this Friday. I'll let you know when I get it.
I got that tie, and I don't have anything that goes with it either. Where did that come from? Well, as it happens, the season comes to a finality that is striking, and it's just hard to. I mean, I don't know what to do with myself. It's just a mess coming back because you just are cranking for the next and the next and the next, we had another game last night where it started off. You know, it didn't look like we had a chance. And then at halftime, we just switched gears, and we were able to do it. And I think it was it couldn't have been more obvious. You guys have been around us. You've seen it. And we were ready to go win a football game. And the switch and the change and that extraordinary momentum shift that happens is just so exhilarating. And we were riding it and going. You saw the defense rise up, make a couple plays to give us a chance, and the offense was just rolling. Three straight drives of touchdowns, and it didn't matter whether we were what the plays were. You know, Russ was making things happen. I thought he was just spectacular. With all of the pressure of the game and all that, which didn't affect him at all, but it just kind of really elevates him, and he did. Guys coming through, making things happen, and it gave us a shot to go win a game on the road in a situation where it didn't even look like it ever be possible. So I say all that because that was us this season, and that was this team, and this relentless mentality about we can win no matter what the situation is really what we thrived on, and it was in full showing again last night. There's a lot of stuff to talk about, you know what could have happened with this or that and all, but unfortunately we just didn't close it out, and we needed to close it out on offense. We had a shot, and we needed to close it out on defense in one sequence, and then we had another sequence to do it again to give us the ball back to go win, and we didn't get it done really because of just a couple plays in there, and I really regret that this thing's over. I love this team, and I love the way they played, and I love what they stood for, and the character that they demonstrated over and over again, and all of the elements of great character, you know, and were there. And they're passionate, they persevere, they're true to who they were, resilient, I mean, all the really great attributes, and they just would not give it up. We start off this offseason today really with the thought of going back to work individually as they prepare for April and 19th or 20th, whatever it is. And we come back with a new resolve and stepping forward, knowing where we've come from and knowing what we have and building on the nucleus of this group that we put together here. So that's kind of what it feels like. And it was worth going late. You guys were packing up, and it was worth going back into the stadium after the game. It was all cleared out. It was snowing and all. And to look up there and you see the Lambeau sign is up there. It looks like it's in the sky. You can't even see it's part of the stadium the way it looked. It looked like it was floating up there. To just recognize we were so close to doing something really extraordinary last night. And it was just hard to walk out of there and leave, leaving that opportunity behind. What's up?
Will you take the whole team back out?
What's that?
You took the whole team back out?
No, I just wandered out.
When you just look back and assess the season as a whole, what do you think it is you're going to regret the most about?
Well, we could stay healthy was a big deal. We just couldn't keep our guys. We were going so well late into the year. It was almost game 12 or 13, somewhere in there. We had six guys on the inactives that were healthy, you know, and then all of a sudden it just shifted, and we got it was just one after another. When the running backs went down, we just took a lot of hits, you know, and I regret that we weren't able to just find a way through that, you know, and our guys answered the call, and we, you know, we went out, found Marshawn downtown Oakland and his restaurant or whatever, and called him in, and he came back to help us, and Turbo, and you know, and called on a young little warrior, you know, and Travis and those guys tried to hold up their end of it, but we just lost our edge. I think could have helped us so much so in the end. And you'll see that the teams that are doing well right now they're maintaining pretty good health with the key guys, and that's unfortunately it just got hard, you know. And we were still fine, we were still going, but I think that's the part I regret, that we couldn't figure out a way to keep those guys on field.
What can you say about guys playing through so much? I mean, from Clowney to Lynn Brown, and Joey Hunt was telling me earlier that he was playing through a stress fracture.
Yeah, for weeks and weeks, you know, that he just couldn't endure. You know, these guys are amazing. It means so much to them. They'll go to such extents and lengths to give themselves a chance to play. Really, you know, Clowney's going to get operated on like next week or something, or, you know, he's ready to go. And there's all kinds of stuff that guys have to undertake now here to get back from next year. But they put up with it to try and be part of this. And the guys that stepped up, you know, DeMarco stepped up again and did a good job. Georgie stepped up and played left tackle for us for a couple of weeks in there. Like I said, Homer. Everybody had to play on defense at some time up front in particular. You know, Ziggy couldn't make it through it. So we were going to need a little more good fortune, I think, to be really strong to overcome, not make these games so darn close. They were just close. And I mean, how close can you get to the San Francisco game, you know? And the unbelievable separation between where you would be or where you wouldn't be because of this, you know, was amazing. And maybe that would have propelled us some. Getting another week off might have been a big deal, you know, to help us. But
speaking of Clowney and his effort and productivity, how high in the priority list is to get a guy like that re-signed? Well,
he's a terrific football player and had a big impact on us. We would love to have him back.
Tyler, when the players were leaving the locker room to come to the meeting, Tyler yelled out something along the lines of, this isn't the last meeting of this season, it's the first meeting of next season.
Yeah.
How have you seen guys just from last night to today?
I didn't hear him say that, but that's classic. That's exactly what I would hope somebody would have said. Go say it again.
Just how have you seen guys kind of turn the page from last night to today when you've been around them?
We did all right. You know, this team has been so resilient that they did it again. But we did talk about it. It's worth feeling the pain, you know. It's worth feeling the shock of it, and so that because I said to some guys that'll motivate you, not to everybody, but to some guys it will motivate you to even work harder and to be more tuned and committed and all of that. And so to use that if you can, you know. But I'm not real worried about them turning. They got plenty of time to get turned around. These guys will come roaring back.
With Clowney, so he is having surgery.
He said that. He's had surgery on the other side, and he said he wished he'd done it on both sides. He's going to get it done in the next few days or whatever, next week or something like that. It's for a core injury.
What's the long term on that?
It's short. These guys can make that back in five, six weeks, you know, so it shouldn't be a lasting recovery at all.
What impression do you think your system and the locker room made on him and his decision going forward?
Well, I don't know how much he's talked about it, but he was just he loves it here, and he wants to be here, and he dropped up to see John just to let him know, you know, how important it was to him. So he had a great time, and I mean this everybody in here, these guys they had a ball competing together, and it's interesting to see the new guys that come in because they're more surprised by, you know, the environment and all. And they were very upbeat about it, and Clowney was as much as anybody.
How'd Phil Haynes look yesterday?
Phil did a good job. What we've seen in Phillip is that he's really strong, and he plays real square. He did it in that game. Now, he really did very well. I was really pleased to see him. He has had such little play time since he's been here. So it was great to see him do well.
Pete, when you look at the falling behind in these divisional playoff games on the road, you've done it a handful of times now. Is there any common thread between these that you guys just can't get going and out of the gates like you'd like when you look back on them?
Just that the results are similar, you know, that it's happened again, you know. You know, it's 7-3 at the end of the first quarter, I think, you know. So we're not doing much on offense at the time. We had one drive. And but, you know, no, I don't have the lock on it because I'd have changed it if I did, you know. But it ain't how you start, you know. It's what you do with the finish of it. And we need to be better, though. We need to be more powerful at the early part of these games. It's not that we didn't find times on the road during the year to be good early, but you know, I don't know that it's a divisional game. I don't know. You know, that's why you fight so hard to play at home. You know, so you have that advantage. And so.
All right, there you go. There's the head coach, Pete Carroll, speaking with the media. We'll come back, maybe catching up with Dwayne Brown. We're getting word that he may be calling in. So we'll see. We'll see if he's with us when we come back with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, it's roses.
Will you accept this rose?
I'm more of a hot weather person. I mean, I like hot weather. But if I got to play in the cold, shoot, I got to play in the cold. It don't matter. Somebody going to get beat today. It won't be me.
And thorns.
I remember that.
God was a Packers
there's,
fan today,
there's
I
some
think.
Stuff there. Russell's not going to go back at him, but there's some tension there.
Yeah, I remember that. It was a very snide comment because, yeah, I don't know.
Russell. Fine, I hate him.
Yeah, Russell. Come on, Bob. Jump on board. Jump on the hatred train.
All right, we're waiting for Dwayne Brown. We'll see if that happens. But in the meantime, we're going to hand out some roses because there are a few guys that definitely earned roses in yesterday's game. And, Jim, let's start with you. Who gets your rose?
Okay, it's a tough one because there's a lot of rose-worthy candidates here. I thought about Dwayne Brown because of the fact that he even played. Jake Heaps called that, by the way, and I was thinking, man, how's Jake know 4 days before the fact that Dwayne Brown's going to come back from this knee surgery, arthroscopic surgery, and be able to play for the Seahawks. And yet he was right about that. But I'm going to go with Russell Wilson. It's pretty obvious the game that he had, but being down 21-3 at half. And at that point, I was kind of going, oh, man, they're probably going to get blown out here. The injuries have really caught up to him this time. As you said, Bob, facing a rested team and a better team, a higher-seeded team in Green Bay. And yet Russell Wilson, we all saw him in the second half, running like the old Russell, maybe a little slower, but still just as elusive. 64 rushing yards, 21 for 31, 277 yards. He just did it all again, and he made it all seem possible. And you felt like, I read how many fourth quarter comebacks has he had, 32 or something like that?
32.
I thought we were going to see number 33 yesterday, and he darn near pulled it off.
All right. It's a great pick. He was remarkable yesterday. Dave, who's your rose? Who gets the rose?
I'll go with Dwayne Brown just because I think that he brought a lot of juice to the sidelines and to that game just because he made that sacrifice. And, you know, there's stories that we're hearing that, you know, he stood up in the meeting on Saturday night and, you know, said, I'm playing for you guys. It's the same thing we've heard out of Jadeveon Clowney. And so, yeah, I just thought that brought a lot of, yeah, what energy and to this game. And it's kind of a weird, funny story, but I'm on the fourth and fifth bus, which is the, you know, all the media people that work for the Seahawks, mm-hmm. and people traveling and, you know, the GM and all that. And we had to walk through the locker room in order to get to where we were going. It was so loose in there, and everybody was laughing and joking around, and then a couple of guys were yelling out, oh, the VIP bus is here,
with all the media walking through.
Well, it wasn't media guys. It was the media, you know, that worked for the Seahawks, all Seahawks personnel, including me and Rabel and O'Connell and Jen and everything, and we're walking through there, and these guys are trying to get dressed for the game, but they're playing loud music and having a good time. Everybody's laughing and joking around. They were loose, and I just think, you know, they are, and Dwayne Brown brings a lot of that to it, because if Dwayne Brown says this is a good place to be, you're a young guy, you're looking up to that, to him, and you're going to believe it, and it's true. And you know, Dwayne's been in Houston and talked to a lot of guys when he's been in the league as long as he has. What is he, 33 34? He knows. He's got friends everywhere in the league that talk about what it's like, what the environment's like. So for him to come out, and the other thing to me too is he had his knee laid open in an operating room 3 weeks ago. You know, a lot of people would still be on crutches. And he's out there playing and giving it his all. So, and I think he had a good game. It wasn't, you know, there was a couple of times Russ got sacked and there was some pressure and stuff like that. But, you know, I imagine he graded out pretty well. But just having him there and what he's done all year, I just think he definitely deserves a rose for this one.
I'll give mine to Tyler Lockett. It was between him and Jadeveon Clowney, who I thought played really well. Clowney had 7 tackles, 4 solo tackles, half a sack, tackle for a loss, 2 quarterback hits, and he's going to have surgery next week. But Tyler Lockett targeted 10 times, came up with 9 catches for 138 yards and a touchdown. I mean, he's bounced back from the shin injury, the sickness, and continues just to kind of, you know, prove people wrong, to look at him and go, he's not a one. He's too small. He's not a one. He stepped in for Doug and played every bit as well when he was healthy. He's been remarkable this season. Career year for him. Great game. I thought DK Metcalf played pretty well. But, yeah, Tyler Lockett gets mine. But Jadeveon Clowney was, I thought, really good considering what he's dealing with.
How about Tyler Lockett also dispensing a concussion to the guy who gave him the helmet-to-helmet hit? It was on the free
Kevin
play.
Kevin King?
Yeah. It was the free play, and the guy came up, and you could argue that that was that helmet-to-helmet hit they've been talking about.
Would you have been mad if they had thrown the flag, though? Like, come on, that's a football play.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm very even on that. I don't care what team it is. I think it's ridiculous. But, you know, he was the one that got clocked, and then he gets up all fired up and spins the ball, and that was a free play because I think was it Kenny what's his name? Kenny Clark jumped off sides, and then, you know, Russ wisely threw it up for him, and he got hit pretty hard. And then the other guy's the one that came away with the rung bell.
That was kind of a weird play because it looked like some guys kind of let up, like they thought the play was dead.
And then some guys, the Packers. Yeah. I thought half their defense let up.
Yeah, it looked like they kind of, I was like, did I miss the whistle? Did I hear a whistle? I did, you know, I was trying to figure out if they blew the play dead because half of them looked like, oh, all right. You know, waiting for an explanation. Then Russell throws the ball and there's the completion, but a great play, and Lockett ended up having a huge day for him and continues to, listen, some people were not happy with the contract he got. I thought he proved him wrong last year. I thought he did it again this year. He's turned into a really, I mean, you feel great about Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf moving forward.
Well, yeah, I mean, some people, I was one of those. I thought, man, $10 million for Tyler Lockett coming off an injury. Yeah, and yet he's a bargain now. But, yeah, I was just sitting here, Bob, thinking about DK Metcalf. He's 22. Tyler Lockett's 27. Those two receivers, would you trade them for any other one and two on another team? I was just sitting here thinking, man, as soon as I say that, somebody will say, come on, Jim. Yeah, I'd trade them for so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. But really, when you look at Lockett and Metcalf, it's kind of like a 1A and a 1B now. You don't really think of either one as being a 1 and a 2, even though Lockett, I think, is still technically what you would call the 1. But if these are aces, I mean, you got two aces on a pitching staff, basically, if they were baseball guys. So, yeah, you have them for the next 6 to 8 years together.
Yeah.
200 yards and a touchdown for Tyler Lockett in the playoffs, and then during the regular season over 1,082, and both career highs for him, but 82 catches and 8 touchdowns during the regular season.
And that's with missing time, or missing time in terms of just not being effective,
he wasn't,
right?
he wasn't himself for
he was in the
weeks.
Hospital after that injury, and he just wasn't right. And
it seemed like for 3 or 4 games anyway.
Yeah, because he had the injury, then he got the flu like everybody else. And listen, DK had a nice postseason. He had 5 targets yesterday, 4 catches, 58 yards, coming off a 160-yard performance against the Eagles. He gives you – there's so much potential attached to that guy, man. How can you not be excited about what he can become? I mean, his size, his speed – he works on his route running. He works on the hands. I mean, he just became reliable in the postseason.
And such a humble kid, too.
Yeah, yeah. It was fun to watch. Really fun to watch. Unfortunately, it came to an end, so there you go. I've got no idea what's happening with Dwayne Brown. I got Mora's running around frantic back there going from room to room. So we may have him. We may not. You never know when you're dealing with certain members of their PR staff over there. But if he's not here, We'll hand out some thorns because some people earn those as well in a loss. So we'll talk about that coming up with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and more. A reminder, we got a short show today. You got the National championship game coming up at 5 o'clock between LSU and Clemson.
Who do you like? Everybody likes LSU.
I'm pulling for Clemson.
They're undefeated.
Yeah, I like their quarterback.
He looks like a lion.
He does. I don't know. I like him. He started out, first 7 games, 14 touchdowns, 8 picks, and then the last half of the season, 22 touchdowns, no picks.
What's his name?
Lawrence.
Trevor.
There you go.
Trevor Dabo Sweeney today, though, just poor mouthing. Oh, boy, poor old Clemson, big underdogs here. We don't have a chance. Hopefully we're going to force them to punt one time tonight, and we're hoping that we don't get shut out. That's our goal.
Yeah.
I heard him say those exact words.
Really?
Yeah.
The defending champs? I don't really care who wins. I just hope it's a good game, but I'm leaning toward Clemson.
Yeah?
I like LSU. You know, if you look around the league, two programs that I really respect, and you could probably make the case, same thing for Clemson, but LSU and Wisconsin tends to produce tough guys. Guys that will just hit you and are tough. And, you know, both those programs. So I've always kind of followed them. You know, I don't care who's in the SEC, the Big Ten. Don't really care that much. But they do produce a lot of really good players, good tough players in the NFL.
Well, and the biggest reason to pull for LSU is to see Ed Orgeron after the game.
Yeah, there you go.
You know how happy he's going to be?
I just like hearing his voice.
I know. That's exactly right.
All right, let's hand out some thorns, and Dave, we'll start with you this time.
I'm reticent to give out thorns this
week. You never like
this
to do
week.
This.
Well, I don't, because I know how hard it is. That's why. You know, I was going to give it to Trey Flowers, but somebody texted in that he stinks, and I find myself saying that I got defensive. Like, he stinks, he's got 3 interceptions, and he played really well, and he plays through pain, and he's a tough guy. I would say they got out-coached there on some of those routes. There was like a fake. There was a couple of rub routes that Jimmy ran where they didn't handle that well. And, you know, maybe it's because of there's, you know, some younger guys out there without experience. Maybe, say, Ugo Amadi. But, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why we haven't seen him that much. He just doesn't have the experience. But, you know, whoever was in charge of those little rub routes that they ran, and then the one with Davante Adams, the first touchdown, they both ran like they were going to run the rub route, and then they stopped and went the other way. It was beautifully designed, and they did not handle it right. So, yeah, I guess I'll go with Ugo Amadi. I like the kid. He's got great feet, and, you know, he's a smart guy, and he's a playmaker, but he just wasn't ready. And that's one of those things that it comes down to at the end of the season. You have guys out there that you don't necessarily want to have on the field because of injuries and just because of attrition. And I don't know if anybody had more missed starts than the Seahawks. I don't know if that blew you guys away. 102 missed starts by starters.
It makes sense when you start looking at who's behind who and how far down the depth chart they've had to go at multiple positions.
The other thing I was thinking, too, that Packer stat. Also, 28 of their players played every game. 28 of their players played every single game.
Do we know how many Seahawks played every game?
Let me get a roster here and I can look. But, man, it's not me. Because if you look at, like,
Russell.
Dwayne.
Effetti.
Yeah, Russell, Bobby, KJ.
Effetti.
Jermaine Effetti did.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that where the list ends?
And McDougal.
Did
he miss a game?
I can't remember if he missed
a game. I thought he did. I thought he missed Pittsburgh because Lano Hill was playing in that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think
he didn't miss that game.
No.
Yeah, there wasn't many. I mean, they might have had 10 guys that played in all 16. So anyway, yeah.
All right, Jim? You ready for I'm having a hard time with a thorn here. I thought about Malik Turner, but I just feel like everybody's so down on that kid, and
Doesn't mean you hate him, Jim. We're just talking about this particular game.
I can't give him a thorn, though. I know the ball was right between the 1 and the 7, and he should have caught it. But I'm going to go with Cleet Bakeman, the referee, because I still am confused about that whole turn of events at the end there when Jimmy Graham. It looked like on my flat screen that he got just short of the yellow line, and then they came back and they said no, the call stands, and then they came back again and said they had additional footage.
That was weird. I've never heard that.
And then I'm trying to think. I was asking Dave, and I don't remember. Did they not ever bring the chains out? What? And if not, why not? And so I was a little confused by that, and I didn't think that was handled very well. And I'm mainly giving it to Cleet Bakeman. Oh, and then people are saying that. Well, not people. I mean, there are people online here. ProSportsExtra.com, Aaron Rodgers was seen hugging referee Cleet Bakeman.
What?
Before the game.
And slipped him $100 bill.
So I don't know what was going on there, but
conspiracy theorists.
Yeah. I just think that they could have handled that final play better than they did.
Then I'll give mine to Trey Flowers. And I love Trey Flowers. We love talking to him. I don't think he's cooked. I don't think you cut him. I think this is what we saw with Shaq Griffin. We saw a really promising rookie year. The next year, he took a big step back, and everybody was down on him. We heard the same things and read the same things. Get rid of him. He's a flash in the pan. He was being covered up by Cam and Earl and Sherman, and now we see that he's no good. He had a really good year this year. I know the interception numbers weren't there, but he's a Pro Bowl alternate. He's a guy that I thought was a really impactful player. And a stat that blew me away last night, which I didn't know. I told you the announcer said, yeah, he picked up the penalty last night. He was penalized one time in the entire regular season. Is that true?
I remember it. It was in Philly.
They said it on the broadcast. But I'm like, is that right? One penalty all year? Anyway.
I'll tell you what. If that's true, that would be a great, same path for Trey to take. Because if you go back, and the other thing I was going to say about Trey, if you look at his penalties, I'll bet you if you go back and look where the ball was, everything, that he could have either tipped those balls away or they would have been incomplete on every foul that he had on as far as pass interference goes.
Yeah, I'm just using Shaq as the example of a guy who gave you all this promise his first year and then took a really big step back and everybody was down on him and he was down on himself, gave himself a D when we talked to him, and then bounced back big this year. I think Trey can do the same thing. We'll see, but I'm not ready to say, well, he's done, he's finished, get rid of him. But he did. I thought he got his butt kicked last night. Devontae Adams, they didn't have an answer for him. I think you can put that on the defensive coaching staff as much as the players, but they didn't execute whatever their game plan was to stop him. They didn't execute.
425 says that Flowers should be on the practice squad. 425, you don't know what you're looking at.
All right, Dave, are you comfortable with Griffin and Flowers being the starting corners next year?
Yes,
okay.
I am.
All right.
I am. And you know what? It was going to help them is safety play and steady safety play. You know, they had Leno Hill in there a lot last night. You know, Marquise Blair is a guy that's, I think, going to be a good one, but he's a rookie, so he's just not ready.
Yeah, and you get a full season of Diggs, it'll be hopefully a different story. We'll talk to a guy who knows a thing or two about the secondary. Paul Moyer sitting in for the professor today. He joins us next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.